Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Well, we're back here once again, show number 73, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about. Brad, I know you have a lot to talk about. You've had some good stories, so we'll start with your fine, long Memorial Day weekend.
Start with the good news, okay? Yeah, Memorial Day weekend, actually, aside from the fact that we had a lot of wind to contend with, one of those weekends, the weather cooperated on other levels. We didn't have any massive cold fronts, no big thunderstorms, at least not where we were. Not a weekend standing, sitting in the cabin, looking out the window, wondering what it would be like to be out there fishing. Actually got out fishing. Spent the weekend actually fishing, of all things, northern pike. Shifted gears away from the walleyes a little bit and spent a weekend at one of the old favorite pike holes and really had a lot of fun with it. They were kind of the saving grace last winter, but they're picking right up where they left off. And tried a new technique this weekend that's kind of neat. Plus, it was just a lot of fun. We were short lining. We were trolling basically right adjacent to shorelines, and I never had more than about 2-3 feet of line out at any given time. And the Northerns were not boat shy. They would come up and just absolutely rip that lure. It didn't matter what you had. I mean, I think you could have had a hot dog on a hook, a cigarette butt on a hook, something with a little bit of motion. Those fish were going to come up and attack it. And attack it they did. I mean, there was many times where it got to be like a game of keep away because, you'd see that fish coming, you'd yank the lure away from him. Okay, oh, good, I missed that one, And then another one would come up right behind it. So, I mean, we had a couple of days where between two of us, we boated 100-plus fish. So anytime you can do that, it's hard to complain about it, even if it is Northerns.
Now, here's the best part of this whole story. Before I hit the record button for this week's show, I heard, I didn't want to fish yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, my brother and I both said it. In fact, I don't think I've ever heard him say this. He said, I'm fished out. And, once he said it, I got to thinking about it, and I think I was pretty much in the same boat. I'd had enough, and yesterday I spent Memorial Day actually working in the yard and doing the things you have to do when you own property out in the country, and didn't really regret at all the fact that I wasn't out fishing. It was nice to take a break from it, actually.
Well, I'm going to tell my fine Memorial Day story after our little break and our special guest, but I'm going to move on to a little catfish. We got on a heck of a catfish bite last Friday. The word was coming out from Wednesday of this unreal bite, and we've been talking week after week about this incredible cat bite here on the American side of the Red. And Friday, we just couldn't take it any longer, so we went out for a couple hours, and it did not disappoint.
Not at all. It was the, what did you do on your lunch hour excursion? We went out, I guess we were out for about 2 hours, took an extended lunch break, and boated, half a dozen kitties, including two that were 20 pounds, had a few others on. Seems to me, as I recall, you had one get off that, probably would have been a pretty special fish.
It was
fish.
A nice fish, too.
But it was just a phenomenal thing because we were never, away from casting distance of the boat ramp. And, here we sat in the middle of the river. There's catfish busting all around us. And you have to kind of sit there and pinch yourself at times like that and think, is this really happening? Middle of the day. And here we are banging these big kitties. It was just an amazing time.
That's about as good as it gets. But we do have some different things this week. Had a really nice conversation with a gentleman from Dakota Country Magazine out of Bismarck, North Dakota, John Mitzel, and they're doing some nice feature articles on fishing opportunities in North Dakota, and this month's issue is featuring North Dakota trout lakes for trophy trout.
Well, and that's certainly a name that can speak, about North Dakota outdoors opportunities. I mean, I've lived in the state here now since 1985. And, I mean, as long as I can remember, the name Mitzel has been synonymous with North Dakota outdoors, on one level or another, especially out in that Bismarck country. So it's a part of this state I don't get out to nearly as much as I'd like to, and they certainly cover that part of it well.
Well, the whole thing came up because trout fishing is just something we don't have a lot of. We have some at Turtle River State Park here by Grand Forks, but it's just something you don't hear of much here in our neighborhood. And it was just kind of intriguing as I guess, another opportunity. And that's all we're all about here on this show is opportunities and memories. So it just seemed to fit real nice, and it was a nice conversation.
And I'm sure, you know, they're looking at a lot of smaller bodies of water, you know, not the big high, you know, glitz and glamour kind of places. You're not talking Sakakawea or anything like that. It's, you know, it's little man-made dams and reservoirs, and, you know, they manage correctly. They can kick out some really impressive fish.
Well, we're going to go to that interview right now, so enjoy. We got about 5 minutes with Mr. Mitzel, and we'll be right back.
All right, folks, it's a real treat to have from Dakota Country Magazine out of Bismarck, North Dakota, John Mitzel. John, welcome to Y-Fish Radio.
Nice. Thanks, Brad.
John, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you this week in particular is because in the June issue of Dakota Country, you guys have something that's a little odd to Y-Fish, which is trout lakes, and I found it very interesting that the state of North Dakota is doing some projects to enhance trout fishing in North Dakota. Could you talk a little bit about that for us?
Yeah, well, I think the trout is a fish that tends to be overlooked quite a bit. You know, I guess mostly when people think North Dakota fishing, you know, they think walleye, pike, perch, catfish, and such. And it is kind of a sad deal that the trout does get overlooked quite often, because there are some great opportunities right now in North Dakota for the species of trout.
Now, when you're talking about the opportunities, is there a few specific lakes in central North Dakota that stand out?
Well, we've got a few favorite lakes, I guess you can say, that we tend to spend quite a bit of time on when we're fishing for trout. Just to name a few of our favorite lakes, Fish Creek Dam, just west of the Bismarck-Mandan area, has always been a favorite of ours. Raleigh Reservoir, south of the town of Raleigh, has always been a favorite. Sheep Creek Dam, south of Elgin, is another good trout producer. Nigrin Dam in the Flasher area is good. And I would have to say my favorite trout lake over the past few years has been Lightning Lake, which is located just northeast of the town of Turtle Lake. And that's been one of our favorite trout lakes just because of the numbers of trout and the size quality of trout. There's a good day on Lightning will consist of anywhere of over a dozen rainbow trout, and chances are good of hooking into a few trout that are over the 20-inch range. So Lightning is top on our list for trout lakes.
Now, are these brown trout, rainbow trout, both? What kind of trout?
In Lightning Lake, we're looking at rainbow trout, but in the other lakes, such as like Nigrin, Fish Creek, Raleigh, and Sheep Creek, there's a mix. But most of the trout that are going to be caught are rainbows, but there is the opportunity for brown trout also. And the browns do get big, too. In most of these lakes, what we're looking at size-wise, most of the fish are going to be probably in that 12 to 14-inch range, but there is the opportunity for larger trout. You will find some rainbows and browns in the 17-inch range, and then occasionally anglers will tie into the bigger fish anywhere from 20 to 25 inches. I believe last summer there was a brown trout that came out of Fish Creek that measured 25 inches. So there's the opportunity of bigger fish.
That's an impressive trout. Now, when you're catching these fish, are you using just kind of a basic hook and line, or are you fly fishing, or a combination of both?
Well, we tend to fly fish these trout. It's just kind of something we've got into over the years, and it's just a real fun way to catch a fish. And there's several patterns at work. You don't necessarily need to fly rod these fish to catch them. The standard stuff like a MEP spinner or some light tackle, light jigs will produce fish as well. But when we go out and fish these lakes, we go out to fly fish, fly rod these fish, and it's just a real fun way to catch them and a unique way to catch them.
Is there any thing you're looking for when you show up at these central North Dakota lakes, kind of to get started? Any structure type, water type? Tell me what you're kind of looking for when you show up.
Well, trout are a pretty easy fish to fish for. Unlike walleyes and bass and such, trout can occupy the water column pretty much anywhere. They're not a bottom structure fish. They can relate in the water column anywhere from just inches below the surface to to at times near the bottom. A lot of the activity we notice for trout varies on sunlight and cloud cover, things like that. I think some of your better days are going to be when there's cloud cover. Those fish will tend to hug the surface of the water column more. Other times, if the sun is out and it's kind of a bright day, those fish may be 10, 12, 15 feet deeper and will require some deeper tactics to get to them. But for the most part, you know, things like points or flats don't really play a major role in looking for trout. I mean, they can be anywhere in a water column, anywhere there's deep water, shallow water. They can be pretty much anywhere.
Well, it sounds like we've got some pretty interesting reading on trout, and you know, trout are pretty much in every state, if I'm not mistaken. But there's that and much, much more in Dakota country this month. John, I thank you for joining me here on Why Fish, and of course, tell our listeners how they can get their hands on this copy.
Yeah, you can find the June issue of Dakota Country Magazine out on the newsstands right now. If you would like to subscribe, you can give us a call at 800-767-5082 or visit us on the web at www.dakotacountrymagazine.com.
And we'll be putting that on the website as well. John, thanks again for joining us on Why Fish.
Thanks, Brad. Have a good week.
You too.
So, Mr. Mitzel, John Mitzel, it was always nice to talk with him, and I think we're going to talk to him a little more frequently in the future. They always do some nice little features about the Dakotas, and it just seems to be a nice fit with us here.
Absolutely, and if nothing else, it will, you know, hopefully kind of kick things into gear a little bit to maybe get out and sample that neck of the woods a little bit more. Because, like I say, it's been a while since I've been out there.
That's right. Before we move on to my fine Memorial Day weekend, we got to pay some bills. Talked to Stu up at Cats on the Red just this evening. He said things are picking up. Get up there, booking fast for the summer. Lots of big kitties to catch. So check them out on the Red. Cats on the Red. .net.
Area code 204-757-9876. And might I add, while we're talking about it, I'm basically counting the days till we get up there in July. You know, that one's become a summer tradition, and you know, this year's no exception. I think we're, you know, the way things are shaping up, we're going to have some nice water levels to deal with this year. We'll be able to fish a variety of places, and that stretch of the Red midsummer does not disappoint.
This is already our fourth year of that trip, isn't it?
It's amazing how time flies, and I still remember the first night I ever fished with you up there. Well, you know, the first time after dark, when we just about got run over by a riverboat, and don't get me started on that one.
Yeah. So another fine sponsor of ours, Kent at Trophy Cat Adventures, right here on the Red and Grand Forks. We already covered the fact that that's very hot.
And pick it right up where it left off. Went out again this evening, as a matter of fact. Just a couple hours ago, I spent probably 4 hours on the river with Kent. And we ended up with a couple of fish that were pushing 20 pounds again. Another one that was about 13. And, you know, 3-4 that would have been of the eater variety had we been so inclined. And again, what can you say? I mean, you know, here we were five minutes from home, and you know, saw a couple of bald eagles out there. It was a gorgeous night to be out on the river. Beats mowing the lawn and working in the yard even any day of the week, I must say. And Kent's on a good bite right now, so check him out on the Red at trophycatadventures.com.
And that's net, not what Red. Red too, I guess.
Yeah, it's been a long day.
Also, we can't forget Bill at eTackleDirect.com. He's taking care of us. I got a new catfish net on the way.
Oh, it's a good thing, too, because I recall a couple of those kiddies here earlier this month kind of put the hurt on one of your nets. And I don't know, that other net you have, I just don't have a lot of faith on it. It'll work just fine for those walleyes.
Yeah, but give it a couple weeks. Bill will have it in the mail here in a couple days.
I'll be on the lookout.
That's eTackleDirect.com. And last but not least, today's tackle, Wavebuster Bobber. And man, with the wind we've had, the Wavebusters has come in handy, because we've been fighting 3 and 2 and yesterday in a couple times 4-foot waves out in Devil's Lake. And oh my God.
And I don't know what it is. There's just something about the sight of a bobber sinking down with a fish at the end of it. It never gets old. I mean, you know, it's something that for all of us just dates back to our childhood years, and it's still just such a thrill. It never goes away. It's just an incredible rush.
Here we've been promoting this all night. Here's my Memorial Day weekend. Should I give them the short version or the long version, or start with the short version?
I tell you what, it's your call on this one. I mean, you went through this ordeal. You have the right to say it any way you want.
Here's the deal. I almost sunk my Crestliner.
The good thing here is that almost is the key word.
First time out with my Crestliner. I mean, just it was a late start. I mean, what can I say? I fished in Brad's Crestliner this year. I fished in our buddy Jason's new Yarcraft this year multiple times. And we've been in the Red River with the little red tub. And I've always been able to ride with folks. So here I am Saturday, Memorial Day weekend. I'm going to run my own boat for once in the red or in the lake. Pick it up. Find a dead battery, big deal, 6 years old, time for a replacement. Fill it up with gas, back it down the ramp, everything's great. Starts right up, everything works. Cruising across the lake, everything works. Happy as a lark, I'm going fishing. Walleyes are hot. Roll into a tree row that we, I believe, last, what, September or October, we just pounded on walleyes at. And came in and realized that the way the wind was going, I was going to hit a different tree. So I turned around at idle speed and was just going to move down to the next tree. And I kind of lifted up and I felt the boat hit a tree. Well, I didn't think anything of it. I mean, I hit trees all the time. This is Devil's Lake. No big deal. So I tie up, drop a jig down, fish for about 5 minutes and decide that I don't like this spot. I want to go try a different spot. And I turn around and there's 3 inches of water in the bottom of the boat.
Yeah, and keep in mind the fact that that floor is probably, you got a little bit of room, so there's
about 6 inches between the hull and the floor.
You've got a lot of water under you already at that point. That had to have been just incredibly scary.
So I said, oh, expletive, expletive. Untied it, started the motor, and took off back to the ramp. I had about a mile and a half run, and I think it's fortunate that I know that part of the lake pretty well, so I could hug the shoreline yet stay in deep enough water that I wouldn't hit another one. And I'm going in, can't get on plane. I'm looking behind me. The water's getting deeper. The water's actually coming up the drain holes through the floor.
Oh, man.
And I'm thinking, this is going to suck. I'm going to get my new shoes wet. Of all things to think about.
Funny how that works in times of crisis, what comes to mind.
So about halfway back, I realize, man, a life jacket would really be good in this situation. Like a dummy, I should have had it out to begin with. But then I realized to get it out of the front of the boat, I had to let off the throttle. Not going to happen. So I made it back to the resort, and I'm coming in, and I wanted to beach it on the ramp. Of course, there's two boats loading in the ramps. What do you do? So I came right through the swimming area and put it right up on the swimming beach.
What can you do? You don't have any choice at that point.
To meet one of my friends who works at the resort to say, you can't park here, not knowing it was me. I'm taking on water. And fortunately, the good people at Woodland Resort saw it my way, and they were more than willing to help me get it on the trailer and find out that I have about a 4-inch cut in the bottom of my hull. And another 10 minutes, it had been at the bottom of Devil's Lake and not on the trailer.
Well, how did you go about getting it? Okay, you've got it up at the beach, and it's full of water. How do you actually get that thing back out into the lake and get it driven up onto the trailer? I mean, that had to have been a bit of an
adventure. Well, I was able to keep the throttle on and keep the nose up in the air, so as the water was running in, it was just actually running out the back.
Wow.
So when I beached it, I beached it at an angle, and it just hit the bottom and didn't fill up anymore. It wasn't taking any more water on. So in a good, how would you call it, ballsy effort, the guy from the resort helped push me out, and I actually took it back out into about 6 feet of water and turned it around the dock and drove it on the trailer.
Amazing. I would imagine that trailer, it's a good thing it was set up to probably absorb a little bit of weight, because I'm sure it probably had about twice as much on it as it would.
Well, let's just say I'm glad I run a higher than average quality Shorelander trailer, because I needed every ounce of power that thing had under it.
That would have been a very bad time for the axles to just buckle. I mean, as if you haven't had enough problems already.
So that was my adventure. I fished for a total of 5 minutes on Saturday and Sunday because, well, I was boatless for that matter, and the wind was howling and you name it. But I did get to go out yesterday a little bit, caught a few walleyes, and life was great. But that's the adventure here at Why Fish. I hope we entertained you. There will be more to follow as to what happens to the boat. It was dropped off at the shop this morning, and they didn't even know what to do with it. So
there's a moral to the story there somewhere, I guess, but I'm not quite sure what it is off the top of my head.
We'll get back to you. Stay tuned on that one. So
exactly, but be prepared for anything, I guess, and be careful out there because you never know.
I think that's going to do it for us this week.
Okay, well, for now, that wraps up this event-filled edition of Why Fish Radio. Until next time, keep your hook in the water. Keep your line tight, keep your boat dry, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.